I had a cousin that had a bunch of sisters, and there was a good bit of sibling rivalry, and they would steal money from each other. My cousin, he had some money in a real good place. A real good place. He had no double barrel. I shook a vine to a squirrel nest, and the squirrel run out.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Hayden.
I'm Robin.
So we're out here in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas on a duck hunt, and that's where Hayden comes in here. He was kind enough to reach out to us on Instagram and invite us out here to Rice Life Waterfowl, and we've had a ball, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Mm-mm. We're going to tell some stories first, and then we're going to get to the duck hunt here in a little bit. So, Robin, I think, you know, you have a couple of stories that you've been stewing on. Are you ready to tell
He's
that first one?
He's been stewing on since we left Mississippi.
He's stewing on before we ever got to it.
I'm ready to tell one.
All right. Well, let's have it.
Let me tell you a story about a buddy of mine I went bass fishing with. We were in a little old aluminum boat, and this friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name, but he's a big guy, big, stout, double-jointed guy. I mean, he's a chiseled athlete. And he was on a roll that day. He had caught 4, 5, 6, or 7 bass. And I was back there. I was in the back of the boat. And he was, it's a lost art, it was called scull paddling. He would scull up the bank, leave me out in the Pacific Ocean, and he'd pitch his worm up there and catch a fish. And he was cocky. He was carrying on and said, "Preacher, get out your notebook, take some notes." And I'd try to catch when I get hung up. All of a sudden, he pitches his worm up to a little grass bed, and the thing doesn't get through sinking, and the line straightens out. And I saw it start going over to the right. He reeled down to it. He set that hook like he was trying to poke a hole in the moon. And the fish fought back, and he went to crowing. I'll preach a man. You better take some notes. What he didn't realize is that the last meal that this 4.5-pound bass had consumed was a water moccasin, tail first. And when he reached down to lift this bass, because he couldn't boat flip him, he saw that little cottonmouth flare them jaws back, and he now knows why they call it a cottonmouth. Now, at that point, this chiseled athlete, big, stout, grown, double-jointed man, is reduced to a scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. And he threw that bass 40 or 50 feet in the air, but what he had forgotten to do was unhook his worm. It's attached to the line with the rod and reel. It all leaves the boat and goes in the water. He ain't got no fishing pole. I can't help but laugh just a little bit. And I asked him, I said, "Fella, what part of that you want me to put in my notes first?"
I'm steady taking notes, and I don't know where to start, huh?
He'd been fine for you to leave all them other parts in the notes. I think those he'd probably rather you just leave
out.
Yeah,
he'd rather major on that.
Some people call that karma. I just think that's the Lord looking at you going, "Thou shalt not boast,
I
my
told
brother."
You. So what did you think when that line stretched tight after you threw it? Did you know
I knew
the
it was
fishing
a good
pole?
Fish.
Oh, I'm talking about after he ejected it out of the boat. You knew that fishing pole was leaving.
He was thinking how quick he could get that line cut to save that pole for himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that finders keepers? If you'd have fished it out of there, would you have said, that's my fishing pole?
I did fish it out.
You did fish it out?
After you went to the house.
Ah, you marked that spot, didn't you? I understand that. That's pretty good.
That's a good one, Brother Robin. You had one more?
Well, yeah. My wife and I were just married, and we were living in the married apartment at Mississippi State. And my wife, bless her heart, she's a scaredy cat. But don't let that fool you. If you're going to break in my house, you'll be a lot better off to break in when I'm there. Well, she'll kill you.
Straight
up. Woman will kill you.
Yeah.
And she knows how to shoot all the guns. She knows how to load. She's got various weapons set in strategic locations to booby trap the house. Got a butcher knife by this bed, a baseball bat by that door.
Preparation.
She's ready.
Mm-hmm. She just needs opportunity.
Yeah. And one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was closer to the door. I got out of the bed. She didn't know I'd gotten out of the bed.
Oh, boy.
We had heard before that a rapist had struck at USM and struck at Ole Miss. He's coming to Mississippi State next.
High alert.
Everybody was tense and nervous. I got out of bed and I just walked around the house making sure everything's all right. Well, in the meantime, she gets up. She don't know that I'm out of bed. She hears something walking around in the house. She goes to shut the door of the bedroom. When I saw that, I don't know exactly what's going on. I want to get into the bedroom with my wife and make sure she's okay. Well, she thinks I'm in the bed. I grab the door. She's holding the door and hollering, Robin, Robin, Robin. She thinks she's trying to wake me up. I think Jack the Ripper's in there with my wife. And I can't get to her.
There's a tug of war has happened.
Yeah, with the door.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's wanting you out and you wanting in.
It just ain't working.
Ain't nobody on the same page here.
And a lot of marriages like that. Well, I fought harder in my life, but I couldn't tell you when. And I finally overpowered her, got in there, and she was holding that door with her foot. I finally had picked up the door enough to slide over her toes and just peel all the hide off her toes, the top part of her whole foot. And that just goes to show you, if you have conflict in your marriage, you need to get rid of it or somebody's going to get hurt.
My question is, how far away was she from that baseball bat coming across the top of your
mug? Well, she would have killed me, but she couldn't let go of that door. She was trying to protect me.
Which one you think she would have went to first, that butcher knife or that baseball
whatever
bat?
Whatever was handy.
whatever handy. I could get to first.
First thing. I was just thinking, you know, a simple stop in the fight and saying, hey, I'm on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
Well,
but in the moment.
There was a lot of words being said.
Oh,
but
none were understood.
Appropriate
or producible. Not producible.
Non-producible.
Yeah. I'm just surprised that you got out of bed and your wife didn't hear it, because you got out of bed at 3:30 this morning and I knew exactly who was out of bed and when you got out of bed.
Surprised there wasn't one of them Reese's wrappers rumbling
just
around.
A trail of them.
If y'all didn't know this, one thing we've learned with traveling, Mr. Robin.
They better be Reese's.
He's keeping Reese's in business.
And it better be the caramel ones.
Yeah, he likes those caramel ones now.
Hey, we were sitting there at dinner last night, and I said, Robin, there's Reese's right there. He said, it ain't the caramel ones. I said, that's a nutrageous. It has Reese's, caramel, peanuts. And he said, it's not the caramel one. And I said,
you know what I did when I said that? I blinked.
Twice.
Got him. Look at him right there. And
that's about the time he eyed the ice cream bars.
And then he spied the Reese's ice cream bars. And he said, wait a minute. Now, I will have a few of those. That will suffice the Reese's caramel.
He said, I'm about to take care of that six-pack by myself.
Six-pack of Reese's ice cream. What was that, ice cream bars?
Ice cream
those
bars,
were?
Yeah. Like a moo bar or whatever those things are. But we didn't do it. All we had to do, Mr. Phillip was so kind to go get him one.
Well, that was after you challenged me and said that I was not sympathetic, ever.
He did call you.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, you and Rob.
You remember that? Robin, a second over there.
I love you, bro.
This is not an intervention. Let's just move on. I was sympathetic. Robin got the Reese's with caramel, and it all worked out.
It all worked out.
Well, so I think this is a good segue because you talked about we were having the conversation about your Reese's in the Quick Stop, which is where we had supper last night, which was delicious. You had the biggest salad I've ever seen served.
I did, and it was fantastic.
And a cheeseburger. Was I supposed to say that? It was a lot.
I'm okay with it.
Hey, it's fine.
I don't mind eating a cheeseburger
and
with the biggest salad ever. A
couple of Brother Robin's mozzarella sticks.
Who's keeping up?
Hayden. Yeah. Okay, this boy don't need any help getting on my
I'm
on
being
my
sympathetic. I wasn't going to bring that
sympathetic.
Up.
Sympathetic.
Well, you mentioned, you know, we said, you know, you got to come up with some stories, what stories you want to tell. So you narrowed down as we sat there and talked at dinner. You didn't tell us the stories, but you narrowed down a couple of stories that you may have heard.
You'd heard over your life.
Yeah, there's some guys that you hear these good stories from. So
some
won't
of the
you
older generation.
And you've been our guide, so that let's peel back the curtain just a little bit. So here at Rice Life Waterfowl, you're one of the guides here for the ducks. And
from what I understand, he is the guy.
And he speaks the language. He's been talking to ducks all day. We tried to help you. We just...
That mouth calling's where it's at.
Yeah, I tell you, you killed it, man. But go ahead and tell. Let's hear those stories because we hadn't heard them, and we're dying to hear them.
We stopped him a few times. He was on the way last night. We're like, wait a minute.
Well, he started it, and it was good enough that we were like,
yeah,
no more.
That's enough.
It was getting to the good
part. It was getting to
the
meat.
There.
Yeah.
Well, there was these older men. He's passed on now, but he said there was three of them, and they was riding around in a old out-of-commission cop car somebody had picked up.
Gov deals or something.
Yeah.
Snow. I think there was snow on the ground. Well, they decided they was going to shoot them some deer meat. And they picked out a good tender doe and got it. And they trailed off through the woods to go retrieve that thing. And they was dragging it back to the car. Guy, I guess, put it back in the trunk, you know. And
which is the only place to really carry
it. Either that, unless you're going to get you some baling twine and put it on a hood or something.
Probably not a good idea.
No. And they all get back in the car, and nobody at the moment or at the time knew that the old man that had gotten in the back seat wore a hairpiece. And they all get back in the car, and this older gentleman realized his hair was gone. So then he had to come out of the woods and tell everybody that he was wearing a hairpiece. And they got it.
How you do that?
Hey, boys, just one second before we leave this place. I need you to know something about
it. Yo, nonverbal is going to speak pretty clearly on that.
Hey, partner, you're missing something. Right?
Okay. Maybe just a little bit on the sides, you know.
That visual got me tickled there. I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt.
After everybody had, I'm going to say, got calmed down from laughing, they took off trailing back through the woods, and it was a white hairpiece with snow on the ground. So they had about given up shop. And
we'll come back when it melts.
Yeah.
Come back in the spring.
Come back in the springtime. And they was walking out, and they had to come through one little thicket before they got back to the government car, and just happened to look up in a tree about head high, and there laid that hairpiece on the limb.
It was on the limb.
On
as
the
he
limb.
Walked by.
As he walked up. By.
Hung up on the limb.
Like a little baby possum.
Thing just plumb snatched it right off his head.
And he didn't know it.
I don't guess so.
Or was he being helped out by a little false courage? Or no?
I don't know. Sergeant, he's probably in a hurry.
He might have been in a hurry.
You do get in a hurry in those after-hour events.
Yeah, that is.
Time is
the truth.
Of the essence.
The only thing that could have made that better is if they had handcuffed that deer and throwed him in the back.
I thought the deer was going to come to life. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it did.
Back what was in that the movie? Plastic seat of the cop car.
What was that movie where that happened?
Robin's Adventure?
No, that was...
it destroyed
Tommy
the car.
Boy.
Tommy Boy, that's what it was. Yeah. Well, as a man of few means on the top of my head, I can tell you that you know the cold air.
And that could have been there. Another reason he didn't know. He may have been cold up top.
He could have been. But I'm impressed that nobody knew that. Like he kept that the hairpiece was that good.
He had been around
that is impressive.
He'd been around for a long time that nobody knew about it, I reckon.
Nobody knew it.
Well, give us that other one that I've been dying to hear since last night.
I believe instead of telling one of the stories from the past, I'm going to tell one from this weekend.
All right.
So we get everybody showed up. Y'all finally got there.
Finally. There's a story
That's
there.
That's another story.
That's another story.
Put everything on the Ranger. Had about everything
ready. And I
do
mean everything.
Everything. We had us about 10 dozen worth of decoy spread on there. Had us...
4 or 5 shot bags.
Yeah. We had a bunch of blind bags, everybody's guns, a bunch of motion decoys, knee-high mud from all the freeze melting. And we get everything in there, get situated, got the guns piled up on the front, and we take off. Once
yeah,
we pull in...
we take off.
Not thinking anything of it.
It's another day at work.
Oh, yeah.
It?
And we pull into the field road there, and I can understand the concern. About a 12-foot ditch on the right side and flooded rice field on the left.
And it's cold.
It is a little
cold. It's going to get down to 75 below zero, Robin.
75 below.
But it's just about 22 now.
And we're taking down through there. We're getting pretty close to the pit blind. And I feel a brother Robin.
A burning sensation.
Yeah, right over here in the passenger side area. And feel him just staring a hole in me. And I thought, maybe he's trying to look out here to see if we got any action. And just happened to turn. Mind you, there was no blink. And I kind of asked him, I was like, what are you thinking? And he said, I hope you can see where we're going because I sure can't.
You could not. It's hard to explain. And listen.
Oh, here's the hands.
We ain't going slow.
No, he's got his skimp back.
And it's a canyon on one side. I didn't know Arkansas had canyons. And it's a lake on the other side. And hypothermia is nipping at our heels.
It's on its way. And Robin knows it's on its way.
And it's cold.
Just sees catastrophe at the next corner.
And this youngin has got decoys over his head. He got shotguns stuck over his eyes. He's got stuff piled up. He can't see.
But what ended up happening is Mr. Hayden got us there safely.
He brought us down there.
I mean, just put us right on the blind. Just all you had to do is step over in it.
Yeah.
Professional. That's the difference between being a professional and just an average Joe.
In all seriousness, everybody I've met with this operation has been top-notch.
I mean, it's so good. They got their own camo. Look what that vest you're wearing right there.
Yeah.
It's on its way, too. Hey, and this is pre-production. Okay, this is so hot off the press that it's smoking.
They had to give it to the best looking one.
That's what they said.
Well, they chose it.
That's what they said.
The one story that I remember from this weekend with Robin shooting is you're shooting the TriStar.
Yeah, it's a.
It ain't Abigail. You left Abigail at home.
No, Abigail. My wife had to keep Abigail standing by the door.
That's exactly what you got.
But that TriStar had a challenge in it. The challenge with the TriStar is you. The choke you used was a little bit too long, so you could only feed one in there and one in the chamber, and then one in the holding cell.
I just
want to
give y'all a chance to load it too.
Right, but the thing about it was, is you were at a disadvantage. So you only had two shells when everybody else had three. But what was interesting is when those four came in there, you know, you called them right in. Mm-hmm. You talked them into it. They came in and cuffed right up. Robin shot one time and killed three of them.
Guaranteed. No, I did it.
I understood then why he only needed two shells. And he didn't fire the second one just so somebody else could
maybe
kill
that first gun. One he got with the TriStar, and then, like you say, uglied the rest of
them. He uglied
the other one. He scared the other one to death.
But anyway.
We had a good duck hunt.
Did have a good duck hunt. Well, before you hop off the mic, Mr. Ricky sits down, I do want to take a minute. I mean, you have been kind to us before, during, and up to this point, and we appreciate you.
I don't know how many times I've heard it said, and I said it this weekend. I said, "Dad is a good kid."
No doubt.
I mean, a good kid.
Well, I appreciate it.
Robin has done nothing but sung your praises every time you were away. He's that old Hayden's a good boy.
You think that boy will take a squirrel hunting?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, good deal. Well, we're going to rearrange real quick and get Mr. Ricky on here. Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show. All right, so as we promised, we have Mr. Ricky here, and this is his outfit. And so first of all, a big thank you.
Y'all
for
welcome.
The last couple of days.
Thank you.
We're really glad y'all came. We want y'all to come back.
This man's the chef.
Man, he cooked a fine meal tonight.
I'm talking about it. I might have to come back just for them hamburgers.
Yes, I'm in.
Thank you very much. We can cook a lot better, a lot more of it, too.
It wasn't a hamburger. That was a country fried steak on a hamburger bun. It was something else. I don't know what it was.
Hey, we don't want you to come up here and be hungry.
No way, buddy.
Tell everybody a little bit about yourself before you tell a story to us.
Well, we're here at Rice Life Waterfowl. We want to run this thing as a family. We don't want to run this thing really as a business or nothing. We want this as, when you come here, we want you to enjoy yourself. We want people.
You've accomplished it.
Well, I mean, and it's not just you. We want every person that comes here. I've been to all the outfits. I've been to South Texas. I live in South Texas. And I've been to the, million-dollar ranches, multi-million-dollar ranches where you got to be scared. You got to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take your shoes off when you go in. I don't want that. Our slogan is this is not a 5-star lodge, but it's a 10-star stay. I mean, every mattress, everything is the same. And when you lay your head down at night, we want you to feel like, hey, we're laying at my house.
I slept fine.
And that's
up
what
until
we
Robin
want.
Woke me up at 3:30.
And that's what we want every time. When Hayden takes you to the field, if you got a request of what you want, how you want it, that's what we want in life. Mm. We don't want this as you to feel that, hey, I paid $1 and I need to get $10 back. We want you to feel like you paid $1 and you're getting $100. We're giving you $100.
Mm. Let me tell you one thing you said that meant the world to me. We're getting all that stuff ready. You got to have a lot of equipment. And I was getting my box of shells, and this man right here said, I hope you need 10 of them.
Yes, sir. I want you to burn your barrel off your gun.
Well, he didn't know how ugly he was, and you can just get him out of the sky.
He didn't know about the TriStar.
He didn't know you killed three in one shot every time.
Yeah, that's right. He's a triple swimmer. Yes, sir.
Well,
yes.
Tell us a story. That's what we got you over here for. We know you got one. You said it wasn't a hunting story, but that's okay.
No, it's not a hunting story, and it's a true story. I mean, and I've been in the horse business all my life and trained horses and been all over the world doing that and everything. Well, me and a guy, and I ain't going to call no names, but he's from Brookhaven, Mississippi, and I mean he's the man's man. When you look at him, he looks like the Marlboro man. He probably smoked his thing was he had a Coca-Cola sitting in one spot and four or five Hershey bars sitting in the other spot driving. And I mean, he got jacked up. Mm. It wasn't no beer.
We're getting there tonight.
That's exactly right. And so we getting up here and we're in almost Amarillo, Texas. And he says, we got to go look at these mares this man's got for sale. He said, but it's a journey. I said, all right. I said, hey, let's go. I'm with him. I'm riding. And so we done 10 hours from the house, and I'm hungry. He's hungry. And so we stop at this little service station. He gets him four more Hershey's bars and another Coke.
Load up.
And so we drive like 8 or 10 miles down this driveway. I mean, it's a dirt road driveway. And so we get down there, and I said, are we going to be able to look at horses today? And I mean, this is getting late. He said, yeah. He said, we're going to do it. And so we pull up there, and the nicest people come out there. Miss Myrtle, I love her to death. And we go up there, and we go out and look at the horses and everything. And I'm a kind of a shy guy. I don't eat at very many places. I mean, I'm picky of what I'm going to eat and where I'm going to eat and everything. Well, about that time we go in there, and she has a spread. I mean, it looks like it's from South Mississippi. It's a Texas meal, but it looks like it's a South Mississippi hunt. It's rice and gravy and potatoes and chicken. Fried chicken looks like to die for. And so, and I'm like, I can eat this. Yeah. And so we go along there, and Danny says, man, I'm starving. And I was like, oh, Danny. And so we go along. And so Danny says, Miss Myrtle, he said, would you pass me them mashed potatoes? So she passes them mashed potatoes over there, and he gets him a big old bowl of them, or plate of them. And about that time, and he passes them around, and all of us get a little mashed potatoes and everything. Well, about that time, he said, Miss Myrtle, he said, I need some of them biscuits over there. So she reaches over the table, and when she reaches over the table, and this is the God's honest truth, she reaches over and gets some biscuits for him and pulls them back, and she pulls it back, and she's run her arms over her underhair arms through the gravy. Looks like a wagon track.
I wasn't looking for that.
Look.
That ain't what I had in there.
Listen, it looks like the wagon tracks that went through there, and she said, Henry, I done it again. So this ain't the first time in life this has happened to her. And this
common
is
common practice.
Yes, this is a real truth. It's a live story.
So don't make any changes.
Oh, no.
After the first time. Just keep it
don't
up.
Don't get no clippers.
I was about to say, just get you some scissors.
And she's up there just wiping.
Oh, boy. How good was them mashed potatoes after that?
The food stopped.
Come on.
You had any mashed potatoes and gravy before that?
No.
Golly, okay.
And it was not going to eat no more.
I heard that.
How do you break that news, though?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm all of a sudden getting sick.
I'm going to have to be excused.
Yeah, I have to go to the restroom, and I go to the restroom for a long time.
Yes.
Oh, man, my belly is hurting. Man, you know, my belly
I'm up here about to die. And Danny, he's like, he can't believe it. He's a man's man. I mean, he's a man I would have thought.
No. It doesn't matter what type of man you are. If you get underarm hair
through the gravy,
through your gravy,
like a wagon track. I'm telling you.
You out. I'm out.
I would have thought he'd have been the kind that just shoved it over to the side and took it. I'm not that guy.
A man's man has his limitations as well.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That would definitely be one of them.
Yeah. That's about as good as I've ever had.
Well, that's good.
Now, you in all kinds of arenas of life.
Yes, sir.
And so what's obviously that was a wild tale from your food.
Yeah.
So what's one of your wild tales from some of these adventures you got?
You know, I mean, I've been through the worlds, and, you know, showing horses has probably showed me as much as, and I'll call his name because he's a good person and everybody in the world knows him. Terry Bradshaw is about as funny as a person in the world. And he was Roy and Malia Don from Aubrey, Texas. We was in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and we was up there showing him some more broodmares and everything, horses for sale. And he loved grays, or he does love gray mares. Well, we was up on the levee of the Mississippi River, and I'm up here, and I'm in, you know, we're just people, you know, and he's just people. We're all just people, you know. And so we get up there, and Terry's like, it starts raining. And Terry's like, he said, man, I want to see these horses. I was like, Mr. Bradshaw, I said, it's raining. I mean, it's this mud, Mississippi River, you know, mud up here. I said, he said, no. He said, little man, he said, it's time for us to go look at these horses. Well, we get out. I mean, he's in, you know, nice, you know, he's famous. You know, you're thinking, he ain't going to do this. But this man's just as down to earth. And then we get out there, and first thing he does is steps in a mud hole, looks like 10 inches deep. And he's like, well, he said, them boots ain't no good no more.
Ruin that bear.
But he was just as down to earth, and just, you know, those are the lives that the stories that I like in part of the world is, you know, we all look at people and we think that they're somebody they're not. you know, but we all put our britches on the same way. And, you know, and he proved to me that day that, you know, we all are from the same maker.
I'm glad you said that because
you don't get up on no stool and jump in your pants.
No, what I mean is, you know, a lot of folks around here, we've had, Robin's been called out 7 or 8 times. Well, we go eat today. And he's just disappointed, old Robin. And I thought, you know, they don't know that Robin puts his britches on one leg at a time.
That's right.
Don't he?
No.
Huh?
Nobody puts on their britches like Robin puts on their britches. That was a bad illustration because this weekend I learned. Robin puts on his britches a little different.
Yeah.
He has help before me.
Hey, this morning, again, we was all sleepy. Granted, we was sleepy, weren't we, Mr. Robin? And he was working them britches on. It was cold, so he had his long john britches on. And I'm watching.
Riding up.
And he's trying to get his second layer on, his mid layer. And he's pulling them on, and I'm kind of doing my thing, you know, getting ready. And I noticed Robin has started buffering, is what we call it. Okay. He started buffering.
Yeah.
And I'm just noticing he's still buffering.
Yeah, it's still spinning.
Continuing to buffer. And he's got both pairs up, and he's just staring. I mean, really contemplating what's going on. And I said, Brother Robin, are they still there? He said, I can't make the determination. I really don't
know.
He is locked in, buddy.
So we had to back up 5 and punt on that one, didn't we, Mr. Robin?
These guys have helped me repeatedly. And
that's because we love you, though.
Well, they have made me feel good, but truth is, I battle Parkinson.
Right.
And sometimes I can move, sometimes I can't.
Yeah. What is that? You told us yesterday. You said you tell your hands to go, but it's just got about a 5-second delay.
Exactly.
I'm out.
Yeah. I will in a minute.
Exactly.
I'm out.
That's what he said, but he's got to dispatch them.
Yeah, he's got to dispatch them.
Tell them to get going, they'll come along.
They'll be on around.
But let me tell you one thing. Now, this shocked me. This was the shock of the trip, besides the very first part.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking across the parking lot. So where we're staying, it's right here. The gas station where we ate at is across the parking lot. We're about a quarter way across the parking lot. Robin looks at me, and he says, you want a foot race? About 9 out of 10 things Robin says, I don't take serious because that's just how he is. I said, Robin, let's race.
Something the way he said it.
He took off running and outran me to the gas station. And when I finally called up to him, I said, Robin, how do you run like that and then sometimes shuffle when you walk? I said, that don't make no sense. He said, well, I just had it in me.
It just kind of got to come out, don't it, Mr. Robin?
But I was shocked. He'll shock you.
That's the truth.
Now, so let's transition just a little bit. So you have a powerful testimony.
Yes,
and
sir.
You absolutely just, Shane didn't get it. So this will be
it.
A first
this
for
is
you.
New to me.
But I said, if you're willing to, I want you to tell the world about your testimony, what God's done in your life. So would you do that for us right now?
Sure. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. Take your time, brother. It's good.
You know, I come from a town in South Mississippi where life was rough. They didn't hand you nothing. You had to earn everything. I mean, in life. You know, and we've lived our lives working. You know, my daddy taught me how to do everything there was in the world to do. I went through life, you know, I had to be a man at an early age, you know. And, you know, I don't know if the respect is the most important thing in life is what we was taught. I mean, you better respect everybody. But, you know, God has got us here for a reason. In 2007, 2008, you know, I was going to go through the surgeries and brain surgery. I got brain cancer. And, you know, and I'm sorry.
No, please take your time.
But, you know, but God's got us here for a reason, and our reasoning is, you know, I had to learn how to do everything again in life. And when I said, when he gave me the second chance, I said, what I'd done before was good, but what I do now is going to be even better, You know, they gave me a 60% chance, you know, to make through everything. Well, you know, that 60% chance, I have to do it every day. I take it every day upon myself to do. I stay busier than most people that's healthy.
Just real quick, because I just want to recap on what you said. I mean, when you got the diagnosis, it was bad.
It was bad. It was bad.
And then, you know, it was a short time, even with the super dangerous surgeries.
Exactly.
But then you doubled down and went to and found you sought out the person who was willing to.
Yes, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it in MD no more. They was going to do it, and so we went to, you know, West Virginia.
But he cooked me supper tonight.
and he was at the camp before I was there.
Yeah,
this morning
we're going to give God the glory there. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks to the good Lord.
Thanks, sir. That's right. Thank you. He's got us all here for that reason. Yes, sir.
I guess what shocked me the most is seeing what you've just done today. And then hearing what you do on a daily basis, because when we get these diagnoses, sometimes it locks us up. And we're like, well, that's just it. But you saw God in it. You saw God helping you through it, and you've just been giving it all you got.
And I think that's the ticket to everything. If we'll just put that as medicine, it's the best medicine. God's the best medicine we can have. Mm-hmm. And the best medicine we can ever do is be positive. If you're negative, it'll eat you up.
Yeah.
You know, I had a little Mexican boy. He was like my son. You know, I have a lot of sons. There are a bunch of them around here and everything. But
can I be one of them?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, and he told me. He come up here that morning. He said, you ain't quitting. He said, you're not going to quit this. He said, you got to keep going. You know, and he made it go that way.
Before we do our scripture time, which Brother Robin has for us today, I want to give an opportunity. So RiceLifeWaterfowl,
yes, sir.
.com is where they can go and
that's
find
right.
information for
yes,
you.
Sir.
And then you've got some exciting things lined up for next year.
Yes, we do. We got a lot coming. We got a lot of, you know, new lodging. We're gonna make you feel at home. And we're gonna have at least four lodges, you know, here in the, you know, in this area, that we're gonna get going. We're working on, you know, ones now, but the, you know, there's gonna be plenty opportunities for more exciting hunts and everything, you know, for it all. So
stay tuned. Come see y'all next year.
Next year, he said he's going to have it set up. He's going to have supply store and everything.
We're trying that.
That's Miss Randy.
That's right. Miss Randy's trying to get us a group together, or a thing together, for have a kind of like a
sports store.
Yeah, sports store and all one
stop shop.
Yeah, one stop shop, and
just, you know, come on.
But that's, if you come on, you're going to enjoy it.
That's it.
That's the whole part of it.
Well, Mr. Robin. Brother Robin.
He stepped on my toes all weekend. He can't keep going. He don't get another opportunity.
Hey, no, he's going to do our scripture time today.
All right, then.
And these are instructions the Lord's given his people concerning the Passover, concerning the meal of the lamb that was slain, to put the blood on the doorpost of the house, so the death angel would pass over. And God told them in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, "Now you shall eat in this manner, with your loins girded, sandals on your feet, and staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It's the Lord's Passover." It's God's Passover. He's got a meal for us to eat. He got a job for us to do. Let's get busy.
And he's got a way for you to do it.
Yeah.
A specific way.
His way.
His way. That's exactly right.
You know, this was not part of that. But as we were over here, I think this is a message that you're preparing.
Yes.
Because you're doing a wild game feast.
Yeah.
Coming up. But we were talking about this. And what you mentioned was, as you so beautifully often do, as you said, you took me into the home, into a Jewish home of this time, and you said, you know, they had the lamb in the home before they actually had to slay it, to cook it, to eat it as God's will. And you said, you know, if you think about that, that dad had to deal with the emotions of his kids who had seen that lamb, who had touched that lamb, who had fed that lamb, and probably, I mean, we're kind of
using some liberty here.
A little bit of liberty, but
they didn't want dad.
They probably didn't want that lamb to even have to die. And then so the dad's got, he's trying to be obedient to God. He's trying to
manage his family
all at the same time. And man, that was powerful thinking about, you know, because I just thought, God said it. Well, there it is.
I'm going to do it.
Go and do it. No emotion, no thinking about it. But man, that was powerful. And so many times that's where we find ourselves. You know, God's got a will for our life. He's got calling on our life for us to do. And that's clear. And we want to do that. But we're also battling other things as well. So it's not always easy. But
it's very difficult to put the human emotion and the human aspect into these true stories that we read in God's Word. But you have to do that. You have to remember these were people just like we are people.
Yes. And you have to remember this. As daddy, as dad, now, no disrespect to anybody. As dad, sometimes you got to do what needs to be done rather than what they want you
to do. Now, that, not just sometimes. It's most of the time.
All the time.
If I've had to tell my kids one thing, I've had to tell them a thousand things. We aren't going to do X, Y, and Z because this is the way we are going to do it. We're going to do it this way. And what is it most normally met with? Some sort of resistance, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't.
Why?
Because.
Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy?
Why? Yeah. Well, that's like in the construction world, we have the same, you know, when you're trying to find out a problem, it's called the five why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, you stumped your foot. Why? How did you trip? Why? You know, it's five whys.
Yeah,
when you get to the fifth why, you have explained every reason.
Just every one.
You know, and it's the same way in life. You know, there's five whys in everything.
Yep.
If you're willing to dig in there and ask that.
No,
why,
most people will not answer the whys.
It's tough.
It is.
It's tough. Well, Brother Robin, thank you for the scripture time. That was and we pray you have a very fruitful wild game feast. We know you're going to entertain them.
You know what we didn't do when Brother Robin read that word, though? We all going to get in trouble.
I did, but then I had to reset the camera, and I probably put my hat back
on.
I'm sorry.
Lashes. Please,
please don't
us.
Stumble over me having my hat on. I am sorry. It's no disrespect.
was not disrespectful.
Not disrespectful. Well,
I forgot.
And you were the one over there holding it.
We fell short, bro. We do it all the time. Well, let's play the 60-second word game. Interesting. We're going to have 5 60-second stories. Your job is, as the viewer, to put it in the comment. Who tells the best 60-second story? So, Philip, Shane, Hayden, Mr. Ricky, Brother Robin. So, there's going to be.
And don't just vote for Brother Robin because y'all love him.
Yeah,
right?
For real. Give us a chance.
I mean, a true vote.
Yeah. So, what's going to be. That's right. What's going to be the verb for us to go with today?
Shooting.
So let's give it to Robin. So, Robin, you can choose something. So, shooting is going to be the activity. Is it going to be the best time shooting, worst time shooting, scariest time shooting? You
funniest.
Pick it. Funniest, whatever.
Funniest time shooting.
I got mine. I hope I go before Shane. I got to lose this time. I hope I lose because I want this story.
Who's all of us? Or no? Two.
Yeah, you know, all of us. We're going to paper. So it's just going to be paper, rock, and then land it. No shoot because he got
Robin's
on to me.
Old school.
So
I
it's just
going
to be the third
rock,
hit
shoot.
Is going to be your paper, rock, or scissors.
Okay.
Ready? Paper, rock, scissors.
See?
You're rock.
I was rock.
Okay, rock. So we beat those two. But he's the ultimate winner. So you're going to be the ultimate winner. Y'all got to do it again to see who goes first.
Oh, all right.
You're first.
Oh,
my. So one, oh, my two, so and then good. We got to decide three
this
and
ain't
four.
Good.
Okay.
First.
Paper, rock, scissors. All right.
It.
One, two, three, four, five.
Oh,
all right. So funniest time shooting, and we got to get a timer. You got a timer back there, young whippersnapper?
I got the kudo.
You going to be able to run that thing fast enough to get us in?
Run them a timer in here, 60 seconds.
Let's see.
You want me to take care of that?
All right, I got it.
Look at that. Brother Robin did it pretty quick.
That's
Johnny on the
let's
spot.
Let's not do that one. I like this one. All right, there you go.
Well, one time we was hunting. We was down in South Texas, and we're out there hunting Neil guy. About as good as they could be. I don't know if y'all know what a Neil guy is, but it's a blue cow. I ain't going to call them names. But the person's here, you know, and real close to us. You know, you've actually asked to help do some things. It's kind of right out there and everything. Well, we stand there, and these things are fast. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they are super fast, super tough and everything. Well, about that time, you know, we find a nice one. And so we get out and I put the gun up on the tripod, and she pulls this trigger. And about that time, I mean, this dust flies off the rear of it, and her eyes is this big around. And there's a big old pig, or not a pig, but a
javelina
runs behind this thing. And we're up there, and she's like, I hit it. It wasn't no hitting.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah.
Brother Robin, you ready with your phone?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Get her done.
I had slipped way back down in the Knoxby Refuge off Keaton Tower Road on Oktar Creek. I found a little old flat that had my musket. And a little old buck come up there, and I had the cap on thing. I cocked my hammer. Pop! My cap went off, but my gun did not. 7 caps later, it went off.
7.
And I missed.
It stood 7. There for 7 caps?
7 caps. And he's looking, snorting.
Oh,
but
wow.
He didn't run off.
That explains a lot. That was why he was so concerned today when he pulled the trigger and his cap primer didn't
first
go
one up. Didn't shoot.
It ain't. You better check him shells. What you better do?
He said it wasn't a TriStar's fault.
That's
hit the cancel right there on that.
It wasn't a TriStar's fault.
All right, Shane, you're up. You right, got
ready?
It.
Yep, I'm ready. All right, when my son was just getting ready to where he could get out and shoot some, he found out he was pretty good at it and really enjoyed it. And one day he come in and he's going like this. I said, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "Daddy, my trigger finger is itchy." So that means he was ready to shoot. He wanted to go practice some, you know. So I said, "All right, let's go rabbit hunting." And that was always the easiest thing to do, go find some rabbits. Well, I loaded up 7 22 bullets, and I put them right there in my pocket. And we go walking up the driveway, and I look to the left, and there's a rabbit sitting right there. He said, "Daddy, there he is right there." And I said, "All right, let's go. Let's get him." He gets propped up, and he's ready, squeeze the trigger, pew, miss. Rabbit just sits there. I get him another one, pew, miss. He does that 5 times in a row. He's got 1 bullet left. And I said, "Barney, you got 1 bullet left, okay?" He said, "Daddy, that thing's just wanting to die." And I said, "Yeah, I know, big guy. You got to get him."
That was a good one. I'm on audible since we've already told our funny story a long time ago. I'm on audible.
Oh. He's going to back up
ready?
5 and punt.
All right, I was in the single digits of age. My Papa Hayes is the one that taught, my great-grandfather is the one that taught me how to squirrel hunt. And he had a Marlin 18-shot feed through the barrel. And I'd go out there, and he'd just let me shoot up every pine tree that I wanted to shoot. Well, one day I said, "I want you to go. I want us both to have a gun." And back in the back bedroom, his 3-bedroom house, on this gun rack was a 12-gauge single-shot shotgun that looked like it's the first one he's ever made. And I didn't think it would even shoot. Well, I talked him into it. He said, "Well, I'll take that old shotgun and we'll go." And he carried 1 bullet, 1 shell. We got back there and there was a pine tree. All of us couldn't reach around and the squirrels were just tearing the bark off of it going, and I was just shooting them. Well, he wasn't going to shoot, but finally it got the best of, you know, all are susceptible.
Yeah.
Well, he's about 6'2", weighed about 140 pounds, feeble, and, you know, and he raised that thing up, and he shot it. And the next thing, him, the shotgun, and everything else was sprawled out on the ground laying there. And I thought he had done shot himself, and he got to laughing. It was hilarious.
Oh, hold on a second. You can do it in 58 seconds?
We'll give him a 2-second grace.
2-second grace. All right, you ready?
He's got to get a mic. He's got to get a mic.
No, you ain't ready.
You're going to have to lean up.
Yeah. We'll just sit it on.
Just hold it here. Just hold it. Don't be shy now.
All right, now.
You got to get up there close.
Up here close.
There you go. Ready?
Yep. My probably the funniest shooting story was probably from this weekend when every duck that come in just so happened Brother Robin got that one.
Well, sure.
And that old TriStar was barking. If there was a 2-pack that come in and they both fell and 4 or 5 guns shot, Brother Robin only shot two out of that group. And that's just the way it was, you know. There wasn't no way around it.
Ain't no missing. Hey, let me tell another one real quick.
Okay. We got to tell another one. All right. Okay. Just another. Because just it's you.
Close us out, Brother Robin.
I had a cousin that had a bunch of sisters, and there was a good bit of sibling rivalry, and they would steal money from each other. My cousin, he had some money in a real good place. A real good place. He had no double barrel. I shook a vine to a squirrel nest, and the squirrel run out. Kaboom! There was a green fog came out of that double barrel.
Oh.
And it hit him right then. He had hidden a $20 bill in the barrel of that double barrel.
Disintegrated.
And forgot it. About it and shot it at a squirrel.
The most expensive shell he ever shot.
You broke that 20 right down for him, didn't you?
Broke it down.
My goodness.
They always said once you break them, they gone.
They gone.
Yeah, that one is especially. Well, we've had a good time. One more time, I just want to thank you, Mr. Ricky.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hayden.
Thank you.
God bless you guys. It's been a great couple of days here.
You told
we
me
hate to
it.
Do it. We'll go ahead and say yes.
All right, then.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys,
welcome back anytime.
Y'all be serious and come see these boys because they really have done a fantastic job and they got a nice place out here.
You won't regret it.
Nope.
Well, from, say the name again because I'm going to mess it up, Walnut Ridge, Arkansas.
Walnut Grove.
This is the Hayden, Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Hayden.
Robin.
We'll see you guys next week.